Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Obviously this morning, and welcome to Central Life, and welcome to the presence of God. And you know, just one touch of God's love, it changes everything, man. You know in your own life when God touched you, that moment. Some of us have to think back for a little while to remember that moment, but it keeps going, doesn't it? It keeps going. There's many other experiences with God that we're still yet to encounter. And we have to allow that encounter to happen. It's really important that we do. This morning I wanted to hit the ground running a little bit because there's a few things that we want to do today. But my message this morning is around growth. It's really important that we grow. When things are alive, they grow. Hey, Stu, how are you, buddy? Haven't seen you for a little while. And I'm wanting to, in particularly talking about positioning ourselves for growth. And this place is a place, it's a pool of water, of resources, of growth. And as you come in, you'll feel the presence of God here in this place. Now, in the natural, things grow. Anything that's healthy will grow. I look around my own house and I've transplanted 4 different kinds of trees over time. One which I couldn't even remember the name of this morning, I looked at it and looked at it and I said, I know your name. I said, Holy Spirit, what's its name? And he said, Kamatar. I'm sure it's said Kamatar somewhere in Africa, but it's actually a frangipani tree. Looking at the Kamatar, I remember vividly, I said, I want a Kamatar tree out the front of my house. And these couple were, I just met them in the church and went over to their house and I said, what are you doing with the house? We're renovating, we've got to get rid of that Kamatar tree. And I said, I want that tree. It was fairly large and, you know, they're very brittle and their leaves and branches fall off very easily. I dug that thing out and I put it on a trolley and went down the side of the house and put it on a trailer, dug a hole at my place and put it in the yard. That's the Kamatar tree out the front of my house. And it hasn't done that well because it came from sandy soil into my kind of soil on my property. The environment that we're in, the kind of soil that we're in, what we've naturally grown in, be careful that we don't uproot and get planted in a place where you won't be as fruitful as before. The second tree that I planted, I planted with an excavator. It was a bigger tree again. It was a mango tree. Now, mango trees aren't really part of our climate. They're usually a Queensland thing. Now, when we first came to our property, it was in full fruit. This beautiful mango tree. I said, I'm going to keep that tree. Who likes mangoes? And it was in full fruit. And I said, I want that tree, but it's in the way of my extension on my house. So I said, excavator, we're going to dig a hole, we're going to move it. We moved it and I moved it into down the yard and I said, I'll just put it there. And little did I know, it was right on the course, on a water course under the ground, and it's always got wet feet. And it doesn't like wet feet. It likes the moisture and the humidity of Queensland, but it was in the perfect environment for growth and for fruit. It's never fruited again. It's been in the ground, 10 years or so, and it's never fruited again. I've prayed over it, VB, and I've trimmed it and I've tended it and I can't get it to fruit. Urgh. what I've got to do is go down and buy a box of mangoes for $20 and stick them on. That's called behaviour modification, and that's not good. The other tree that I've planted at my house is a wisteria. Now, they're known as a bit of a weed. Hello, little weed. It was growing wild in my backyard. Wild. And I said, I'm going to tame you. I'm going to trim you back. And I grabbed hold of it. I trimmed it. I grabbed it back. There's a huge big bulb and there was these two stems. And I got a handsaw and I cut it because they're hardy sort of thing. And I cut it in half and I planted it here and I planted it there over a rose arbor at the front of my house. Who wants to come to my house and see all these trees? She'll cook up a baked dinner this afternoon, you know, a little bit of pizza. And we'll drink the wine and dance till midnight, you know. Anyway, so I cut this thing and I tended it. It's taken 3 or 4 years for this thing to grow up and over. And every year it shoots and shoots and shoots, and then I've had to trim, tie. But right now when it blooms and it's contained where I've told it to grow, it is fantastic. It's fruit, it's blooms, its flowers come down, and it's a picture. But let run wild, it's not as effective as that. And so sometimes we need to be trimmed. Sometimes we need to be planted and trimmed and tended to in order to get to that place where, you know, God can really show you off. And there's another tree and I'll leave it alone for now. I'll talk about that when you come around and have some pizza with me. Oh? With every season there's growth. In fact, there's an expectation to grow. God is expecting us to grow. It's really important. A little bit bigger, a little bit taller, a little bit stronger. Every season. And then he's expecting us to fruit. Remember Jesus and the fig tree? And he was passing by with his disciples. And the fig tree, it looked from a distance. So just a little bit of history about a fig tree. If there's leaves on a fig tree, there should be fruit. So there was leaves on a fig tree. Jesus goes down and says, why is there no fruit? So he cursed it. And the next day, you know the story, from the roots, and it was gone. But there's another whole picture to that. But God is really expecting us to be in fruit. Matthew 13:32 says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. And this word field is the Greek word metron. And we've talked about this metron, a field, a place that you tend. Every person, every one of us here has a field that we tend. It could be a little two-person field. It could be a larger field. But we all have a capacity that God has given us to tend a field. Though it is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. That is a picture of the kingdom. The kingdom is advancing. It is growing. It's here and it's growing. Jesus says his picture. So it's here, it's planted, and it's growing. Bigger, taller, and stronger. And it's because of you and me and the seasons that we go through and the growth that we're supposed to have. So spiritual growth, that's natural growth. Spiritual growth, it's essential. Jesus is expecting that. It's part of our walk with Christ. I remember there was a season I went through of dormancy. And for 7 years, I was dormant. I didn't preach. I didn't worship lead. I didn't do any of the things that God's called me to do. And I was in a place of dormancy. 7 years. It felt a wilderness experience. But God does eventually get your attention. He eventually grabs hold of you if you are hungry and thirsty after him. You might be in a place this morning where everything's fantastic, but if without hunger and thirst, we won't grow. It's important that we hunger and thirst, bigger, taller, stronger. It will affect our families, it'll affect our church, it'll affect the world around us. Ephesians 4:13 says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Who wants to be mature? Attaining to the whole measure, again, that's that metron again, to the fullness of Christ. No longer will we be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and the deceitful schemes. Instead, it says, instead, speak the truth in love and we will in all things grow up. We will in all things grow up. Grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds. It's growing and building itself in love. As each part, as each metron does its work. What a fantastic picture of an expanding kingdom that is unified and that is growing. That's you and me. I need you to get that picture. That picture has got to be firmly in your mind. Hunger and thirst after God. Now, I looked up the word growth in the dictionary and says, growth is the process of increase in size. It's the size. I'm growing. I'm trying to decrease this thing here but grow in the spirit. And so there's this element of growth that we have to grab hold of. Growth is the process of increase in size. I don't know about you, but I want to increase in the things of God. I want to increase in the Spirit. I want to increase in the anointing. I want to increase in my giftings and callings. I want to increase. I want to position myself into those places where I will increase. If you have to go somewhere and do it, then do it. If you've got to get on the mission field, Ray, get on the mission field. I want to let you know the gate's open. You are not contained no more. The gate is open. Freedom. Wow. Jesus is the door. He opened the door. He set us free. He said, now go. That's what he said. Just go. All things start with a seed. And all healthy things grow. We are bigger, taller, and stronger today than we were 12 months ago. And we are going to be that again next year and the year after and the year after again. Now, Jesus in Matthew 13, it's also in Mark, Jesus has a big day of preaching. He spends all day, preaches 10 messages. How would you go, Craig? 10 messages all day long, just preaching the one thing. Just, I'm going to give you one topic and you're going to preach it all day, brother. That was Jesus. Jesus had this day of preaching about the word in Mark chapter 4. But I'm just going to pick it up in Matthew 13 verse 8. We're not going to go right through it all. But this is Jesus speaking still, and this is about the parable of the sower. We all know it. I'm just going to take it that you've read it 100 times. Matthew 13:8 says, still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times. On some Bibles it talks about fold and 30-fold that was sown. Come down to verse 23. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 and 30 times what was sown. Now, if you just times it out, if you've got 100 acres and I times it by 60, what have I got? 6,000. Not 600. I've got 6. Now, that's really interesting, isn't it? Because often we limit things in our mind. We're limiting. Don't limit God. When he says 100 or 60 or 30 times, in fact, it actually says fold. Now, fold is a completely different, it's off the Richter scale. Like, times we can work out in our head. Fold you can't. It's like millions. And that's just like God. He gets you out of your mind and into the spirit. That's what he does. And, you know, the 77 times 7 forgiveness thing, you've got to go, 490... You know, he's actually taking you outside of the impossible into the possible, into his possible, out of your impossible into his possible. And so when seed falls to the ground, you know, when it says, Jesus said it in another parable somewhere, unless a seed falleth to the ground and it dies, it will not produce. A seed has to go into the ground and it die. And it's a whole picture of resurrection. It's Christ as victor. Jesus went on a cross for you and he went into, he died for you. He was buried for you and he rose again for you. Now our identification is in that. I died with Christ. I was buried with Christ. And I rose with Christ. You can't do that in your own strength. That's the picture of a seed being planted into the ground. See yourself in Christ. You have to get out of the way and identify with Christ. That is, he is your identity. Jesus is saying, I want to plant something with my seed. This is his words, his seed. He's wanting to plant something into the soil of faith. I'm just going to move to the next thing because I feel it's the most important thing. Jesus, I really need you to listen to this, and maybe I paused for a reason so you'd listen. Jesus comes to this point and he now connects our growth to our hearing. Mark 4:24, he says, consider carefully what you hear. The measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Consider carefully what you hear. The parable of the sower, we've all read it. There's four types of ground, four types of hearing. It says it all the way through. The seed fell on hard ground. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes it away. The seed fell on rocky ground. They hear the word and at once receive it with joy, but it had no root, so it didn't go on. The thorny ground, they hear the word and the worries of this life choke it and making it unfruitful. And the seed then fell on good soil, on good ground, and they hear the word, accept it, and it produces a crop 30, 60, and 100 fold. So Jesus is now connecting our growth to how we hear. How are we hearing what God is saying? That's how faith works. Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the words of Christ. Now, we could say this a different way. I'm just going to add to the scripture. You won't throw stones at me? Please. I'm trying to expand it a little bit more, expandalize it for all the evangelists. Faith, which is the measure of how we hear the message, becomes the substance of things hoped for. I'll say that again. Faith, the measure of faith, our measure of faith, or the measure of faith, of how we hear the message becomes the substance. It becomes real. It becomes tangible of things that you've been hoping for. And it comes from hearing, which faith is my positive response. Is the glass half full or is it half empty? Our result or results hinge on our ability or inability to hear and to believe. And the difference is 0, 30, 60, or 100-fold. That's the difference with our hearing. Where the hearing, it's either our processes are either we're hearing the word and it ends up as a result of 0, or 30-fold, or 60-fold, or 100-fold. That's what Jesus was saying. So that's the principle, and it works all the way through. If I told you this week you're going to be a millionaire by the end of the year, thank you. The glass is half full. But often we'll go, oh, I doubt that. I don't think that's going to happen. You've measured it out already. You've already measured it. I think that'd be fantastic. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? What would you do with $1 million? Awesome. Pay some things off. Expand the kingdom a bit more. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Doubt and do without. Believe and receive. Doubt is a measure, and believing is a measure. The way you hear it is the measure that it works in your life. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. She pressed through the crowd. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. She was operating in faith, a measure of faith. And her faith responded to that measurement. Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Look at the centurion soldier. He asked Jesus to come and heal his servant from a distance. And he said, speak the word only and my servant will be healed. Jesus said, I haven't found anyone in Israel with such great faith. The centurion was operating in a faith far higher than the surrounding people around him. He understood command. He understood authority. He understood, if I say to my servant, bake me a cheesecake, she will. See, my faith is at 100% level with that lady over there. And the anointing's falling on her now. And it's increasing in size. It's getting taller and bigger. And I'm getting excited because I've moved from 30 to 60 to 100-fold in my faith. It becomes a substance to cause me to grow. But that's the principle in the Spirit. It's the principle. We need to grab hold of these principles and apply them by faith. What about the 12 spies? I think this is a great story. The 12 spies, back in Numbers chapter 13. The 12 spies, 10 measured it to be impossible. 2 measured it differently. The 2 said, we are well able to take the land. The 10 said, I know there are grapes, but did you see the size of the joints? Joshua and Caleb said, I know there's giants, but did you see the size of the grapes? There's a different measure. There's a different kind of thinking. And we need to start to get into the kingdom kind of thinking, get out of the natural realm and get into his realm, the spirit realm. Both saw the same thing but measured it differently. I don't know about you, but I want a bit of the spirit of Joshua and Caleb in this place where I measure things differently. I don't look at the circumstances. I'm not feeling it, seeing it, hearing it, smelling it with my senses, but I'm actually starting to see and feel and hear things in the spirit. That's where it's at. When you say, I can't do it, or I can't do that, that becomes your measurement. Have you ever said that? You said, I can't do that. I can't do Bible college. I'm not ready for that. You know, oh, I can't play music, even though I've been doing it for 30 years. I can't do that for God. Baloney. You put a limit. You put a boundary on it. Don't limit God. Don't put a boundary on God. The gate's open, as I just said. It's either 0, 30, 60, or 100-fold opportunities. It's unlimited. There's no restraint. The shackles are off. You're not shackled no more. Hang around the right kind of people, I say. Some people you have to unfollow. Because it gets in your hearing and you go to their level. Some people you have to unfollow because I don't want to hear that. I know it's not the truth. I know it's not what I believe. But the minute you hear it, all of a sudden your 100 goes down to 60. Hang around the people with faith. Hang around the 100s. And you'll become a 100 yourself. And that's my encouragement of growth this morning. We are expecting to grow here as a church, expecting to grow people here in this church. When you say I was born on the wrong side of the track, I think of the wall in Korea, North Korea and South Korea. I don't know the full story, but I'm sure there was a time in the country where they just started putting bricks on top of bricks and all of a sudden there was a wall. And you imagine there was the street that you lived on and they decided, okay, we're going to just put the wall through here. And the neighbour that you knew for all of these years who baked all those cheesecakes and there was this wall that went up between you and the cheesecakes, it would be soul destroying because it would be like no longer, I might be able to smell them, but I wouldn't be able to taste them unless she threw them over the fence. Right, 1, 2, 3, go. It could be your social background. It could be all of the excuses under the sun. How many people, entrepreneurs, have you seen? Harvey Norman, all of those guys, I don't want to rattle them all off, but they all were on the wrong side of the track. It was poverty or they didn't have the right kind of schooling and they didn't have this and they didn't have that. That's just an excuse. Becomes a tide mark. Keep bouncing at the tide mark. keep bouncing at the watermark. Yep, I've been here before, but I don't seem to be able to get past that tide mark. I want to let you know that the opportunities in the kingdom are endless, eternal, forever. It's huge. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. If I can, you can. And if I can get beside you and put my smelly armpit around you, well then, and knock you out. We're a faith-filled church. We are believing in healing and miracles and signs and wonders. That's why we come here. That's what we're about. It's about the kingdom. If you need healing in your body right now, just put your hand on that area. Just, yep, it's either over your eye. Rick, you're excused. Yep, put your hand on your neck, on your ear, on your whatever it is. We're just going to believe right now. Supernatural power of God. Thank you, Jesus. I believe for a hundredfold healing right now over this congregation right now, the hundredfold healing right now. There'll be testimonies that come from this. Hearing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Eyes to see, ears to hear. Necks healed, ears healed, heart healed, healed. You can ask him later where it is. Father, we thank you, God, right now. Just your healing power, your healing virtue over this congregation right now. Thank you, Jesus. If it's a broken heart, then broken hearts be healed this morning. You might have a broken heart out there, but God is healing you now. Thank you, Jesus. I've got to finish. I want you to begin to dream big again. I want you to pursue your dreams. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. I cast down every imagination, every high and lofty thing that exalts itself over and above the knowledge of God. And I bring those thoughts into captivity, every thought, everything I hear, to the obedience of Christ today and forever. Amen. This morning, before I hand over to Keith, we've been talking about, and there's a freedom and a shift happening at Central Life right now. And I'm just going to say it, just say it, because these guys can pick the pieces up. Because they're really good. They're really good at pastoral care. Belinda and I are hanging around and at Central Life. I want to make that clear. But we are changing our lane to a more of an itinerant pastors. Now, that means we'll still be here as much as possible, and for the rest of the year, as far as I know, that'll be the case. But there'll be from time to time where the gates open and we both feel that it's now time for us to start to run in our lane, to start to go after the field that God has for us. There's a field, a metron, a field, a particular field. It's here, but it's also out there, and it's in other places. And so we are intrinsically, that's a great word, isn't it? Intrinsically connected with these guys. We met yesterday and we had a hoot. You know, it was awesome. And we're going to continue to do that. So nothing changes as far as this except our job description and what we do. And so we're going to become a bit more evangelistic. We're going to become a bit more travel, itinerant, and do the things that I know God has called us into. So I'm trusting that you will allow us to do that. Too bad anyway, I'm doing it. But and these guys will pick the pieces up. But I just want to honour Keith and Di. Fantastic people who we've done. This is sounds like an end of speech, but it's not. It's actually beginning speech of great things in God. It's actually just the beginning. I don't know whether you've noticed, but there's been a shift the last couple of weeks. A shift the last couple of weeks. And that's because of the decisions that are made up here at this leadership level. And we will continue to see that happen. And I can't wait to be here on a Sunday. I just honestly can't wait because God's doing stuff. And why would I want to be anywhere else? But I know God is calling me to other things and to other things. And I have to remain open to that. Is that okay? So it's not goodbye, it's hello. it's friendship, and we're here. So I'm going to, with that, you can clean it up however you want to, if I've said the wrong thing or something like that, but love you guys heaps. I think you're fantastic. Hopefully you'll say the same thing to me. Oh, good. Thank you.
We love you guys, and we've had such a great journey over the past year and a half. As a lot of you know, Steve and Chris were here. They were here last weekend to visit, and they felt it was time to retire, although I reckon they look too young. And so the four of us said, well, God wants a church here. He doesn't want it to shut. He wants a church here. And the four of us at the time, you know, honestly, we were a bit reluctant. You know, we've all run our own churches for many years, and we were enjoying that atmosphere with Steve and Chris. But it was time. And so the four of us stepped into that place together, and we've been running together for a year and a half. But we've noticed over the last couple of months, God has been getting our attention. And you know, when God gets your attention, you don't always understand what that actually means. And sometimes you get frustrated. And we were frustrated. What's going on? There was a pull. What's going on? What's happening? And because we are a church and a people that respond to God, and we respond to His Spirit, and we respond to His leading, we have to stop and ask the question and consider, what are you doing now? And so that's what's happening. God is doing something now, taking us to the next level of a church. And we have never not said that we are a church that wants to expand. And in fact, we've been preaching, probably the last couple of months, we've been preaching on and off out of Isaiah 54, verse 2, that says, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. We've been preaching that on and off for the last few months, not really knowing the full picture of what that means. But we have always seen as a leadership team that this church will expand into more of a fivefold ministry church. Well, there'll be many ministries that rise up in this church, and whether they come in and come out, all of the time, there'll be a base here and there'll be a home here. Central Life is a home. And I think one time Ray preached and he saw the sign on the building. He saw it in the spirit and he said, welcome home. And we are a home for that. But we are also a harvest field and a growth place to grow new things. And what you preached on this morning, I had a vision in the prayer meeting of seeds and dormant seeds and plants growing up. And God's just confirming. And He keeps doing that. He keeps confirming. But I want to encourage you that you are all part of this. You are all part of this. And you know, the scripture about enlarging the place of your tent, a lot of you, like us, have done church for years, and we've seen things and we've been part of things and we've got excited and we've also got disappointed and we've been hurt and then we've been healed. That's life. But right now, can we encourage you to enlarge the place of your tent? Prepare, get ready for next year, prepare in your heart, make a bigger place for God to do something through you and through this community to out there, because that's what we're doing. And it is time. It is time to move that way. So that's where we're moving to. Well, I just want to encourage you. You know, I thought about it. I thought, you know what? We can't do this alone. We need each other. And I said, God, you know, give me a picture, you know, what's really happening now and what's for the future. And I want to encourage you, there's a couple of other things. Brett and Rosie, who couldn't be here this weekend, they've got a family thing on. They're actually stepping up and taking over the music team. And we're excited about that. If you've been part of worship with them, there is an anointing on them for now, for this time. And we make room for that. We release people into that. We don't hold on and control. We're not that church. We make room and we believe that God is moving in every single person for a purpose and destiny to be fulfilled, given by God personally. So that's happening. We've got Ray and Brett and Rosie and Josiah going to the Philippines next year to a mission field. How exciting. You know, we've got people involved and dedicated in the music team. We've got Mick up the back. We've got Andrew. We've got Val. We've got David and Faye. We've got Brad. We've got Linda, Olivia, Kim, Josiah, James, Jake, Dillis, Jeremy and Keith from time to time, who bring worship every week, who come during the week to practice and give up time to prepare for this service on a Sunday. We've got an admin team. We've got Faye that does all of our bookkeeping and all of our administration. I help with social media and announcements and the service coordination. We've got Maria that looks after the church directory and the prayer chain, which is awesome. We've got people who look after this facility, David and Kathy. Peter and Julie from time to time step in as well when needed. Faye looks after the building. We have Tom who comes early on a Sunday and pops down to put out the sign on the road. We're so glad of that and we appreciate you for doing that. We've got Keith steps in the role when needed of technical things that happen with church from time to time. You know, we've got the building structure itself and the factory that Anthony is looking after right now has done a fantastic job. And we've got people who look after our finances. Again, that's Faye. That's also Arthur and Tony that help on a Sunday with counting the money and looking after all the giving. We've got our catering people. And if I miss anybody today, I'm having a seniors moment, it's not personal. Catering, we have Julie, Margaret, Alex, Leslie, Mel, James, Grace and others that cook us yummy morning tea every Sunday and serve us and clean up and prepare. That's community. We appreciate that. We couldn't have community without that. We've got the kids' church. We've got Josiah and Dave Fryer and Dillis and Mel and Jenny and others that get involved from time to time to look after our kids and teach them about the life of Christ. Super important. Next generation. We got our small groups that happen. Peter and Jenny, Peter and Julie, Brett and Rosie and Ruth, myself, Dawn and Belinda and Faye and Tom, the Toms. They all do small groups in this church. Awesome. Connection. You know, there's a lot of other things that go on, but I want to give you a picture that you are all part of this church and you are all part of the future of Central Life Church. Get excited. Enlarge your tent. Enlarge your hearts. This is not a change for a negative. This is a change for a positive. We are enlarging our tent and we're very excited for these guys. Very, very excited because the possibilities are unlimited. And we're part of that. And we're sowing into that as a church and supporting you guys to go and do amazing things in His name. And we're an extension of that. And we're really excited about that. It just took a journey as it does to get to that point. And let me tell you, that's wisdom. Not to jump just like that, but to wait on God. To meditate on things, let Him marinate in you what He wants to do with you and prepare you for the future.
Thanks, guys. That's awesome. You know, we really want you to start to dream again. Some of you have had dreams in the past that have died and you thought, well, God wasn't in that. Well, maybe God was in that. And I remember that Paul said to Timothy, wage warfare by the prophetic words given to you. And I know myself that, you know, there have been times when I've thought that my ministry was dead. There were times when it was over. There was times when I thought, well, you know, they must have just got it wrong, you know. You know, it was just, and we all get that. We get a word from a person and we say, oh, well, that was just them, yeah. And we all do that. But it's like what Anthony was saying was that it's a measure of faith. We need to go to war over those words. We need to say, no, that's not what was said. This is what God said. And so I have a little thing of all the words I can remember, and there are hundreds of them. And every time I get another word, I write it in this list so that I never forget the things that God has done. This is what God said to me back in on 29th of November 2015 through Sheena Ryan. She said this, "The Lord says there is a way that is hidden. There is a secret way that I have kept from you. A door that I have kept from you, the Lord says, you're coming into a season when the door will be open into your very desires of your heart. And you're going to stand positioned strategically exactly in the ministry gifts upon your lives." Now, I could have just said, well, that's just Sheena talking and that's nice. She's just encouraging us. No, we've got a war. That's what God has said. The ministry was coming back. We were going to walk back into ministry after many years of not really, like Anthony was saying, a dormant period. And you might be feeling in yourself right now, I'm in a dormant period. I've been dormant for years. Well, I speak to those dry, dead bones and I say, breathe life. Speak life. I prophesy life into those dry, dead bones. And there are ministries that were awesome on the Central Coast in the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s, and they're dormant. They're laying in their beds thinking that that's over. Not over until you're dead, church. You don't get to go home until you die. That's it. There's no retirement from being a pastor. Your retirement, you know, you've got to meet the Lord. That's when you retire. I'm sorry to tell you, but you never retire from the kingdom. We're here to build God's kingdom and we'll continue to build God's kingdom. So I want you to, over the next months, weeks, years, whatever, I want you to dream again. I want you to start thinking about what those things that God has said over your life. I want you to grab hold of those words and not forget them. Don't forget what God has said. You know, sometimes I'll be walking down the road and I'll see somebody who was in my church years ago and they'll say, you know, you said this over me. I often don't remember what I've said over people. No clue. I said, do you remember you said this, this and this? I met some people at Erina a couple of weeks back and they said, you know, 15 years ago you said this over. How would I remember what was said 15 years ago? I can't remember what happened 2 weeks ago. But they know exactly what was said. They remember what was said. You remember the words that were said over you. You remember them because they were said to you. Bring them back to life. Speak faith back into them. Call those dry bones and say, no, they shall live again. Prophesy back into your life. Prophesy back into the ministry. I do believe that Central Life Church is destined for growth. It is destined for it. You know, a number of years back, there was no pastor. It had no pastor, so it ran itself for a number of years. And it survived. It was a seed in the ground that had just a couple of little buds on it. Dave Fryer will remember. He's shaking his head there. Yeah, I remember. You know, and I'm sure the people at the time thought, man, this is hard. Will we ever grow? Now look at us. We're in a fantastic building. We're in a fantastic location. God's doing awesome things through Facebook. Welcome to our Facebook friends. You know, God's doing stuff, church. God's doing stuff. So as we move forward, this is the word that I had for Anthony, and he sort of gave that picture, and I sort of want to just tell you what it was. And that was, I saw two stallions. I saw one big black stallion, I saw a white mare in a large paddock. And in the paddock there was the, you know, those ranch-style fences, you know, the big wooden fences. And I heard God say, open the gate. I didn't want to open the gate. I'm not doing it. I'm not opening the gate. And God said, open the gate. And the gate was a big gate. It wasn't one of those little tiny, you know, little side gates. It was a huge gate, enough for 40 or 50 horses to go out of. And he said this. He said, open the gate. If they stay, awesome, but love them enough that they could go. And you know, we've got to be open-handed with whoever God brings in. Anthony and Belinda aren't going anywhere, by the way. They've decided that this is their paddock. That's awesome. I love that. But we've got to love people enough to take the shackles off and say, you do what God's called you to do and you run. As far as I'm concerned, Central Life is to be a resource for the kingdom. I don't know where these $1 million are coming from, but they're coming. I don't know where they're coming, but they're coming. Because we're going to be a resource for the kingdom. People are going to come and say, I need $30,000 to take missions over to the Philippines. And we're going to say, here it is. People are going to come and say, we need this resource. And we're going to say, here it is. We're going to be a resource for the kingdom. Amen. And you're looking around going, but there's so few of us. How could we even imagine to do that? Gideon took back the whole of Israel with 300 men. We can do it, church. Yes, there are giants in the land, but look at the grapes. Woo-hoo-hoo! Man, I'm excited. Three of you are. I hear people sometimes, I'm excited on the inside. Get excited on the outside too, church. God's going to do great stuff. God is doing great stuff. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name for the things that you are doing. Lord, we are going to move forward. And Lord, we're going to take the kingdom. We're going to bring the kingdom to earth. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we just pray for Central Life Church. We pray for every family in it. We pray for our Facebook friends who join us each week. We pray that you would bless them, that you would bring them dreams and visions of their future and of the things that they're called to do. Lord, that they would find the wherewithal and the means to do those things that you have called them to. I pray for those pastors and those leaders who once served God and now don't. Father, if you're watching, if they're watching, Lord, just put a fire in their heart to serve you again. Put a fire in their belly. Anoint them with the Holy Spirit. Stand them up on their feet. You know, we speak to those dry, dead bones and we ask, Lord, that you would breathe life into them. And that there would then be an exceeding great army going forth across the earth. So that the word would come to pass that says that your spirit will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name for this church. And we thank you that we would be a resource for your kingdom. Not a resource for ourselves, not a resource that we can take to ourselves, but a resource we could give out of. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church. Have an awesome week. And amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.